Welcome back. The Gil Can Run Show, episode 14. Here we are. I'm a few days out from the Suffolk County Marathon. I have a friend who's going to help me out and pick up my packet, so I don't have to go to the expo the day before, because I can't make it down to Islip, New York and spend the night there and then run a marathon. And I can't go down to Islip, New York and then drive back and then go back. Just too far. Only one trip back and forth in the morning and then in the afternoon. And that'll be good. I'll be able to handle that. So, you may be noticing, I don't have a beard. I shaved it off. My contract ended at my employer, and I just said, you know what? Turn in the page, trim it off, and go from there. So, it's been like 4 years without a beard, and let me tell you, I feel totally exposed. But it's cool, because I've gotten a lot of positive feedback about it, and here we are. Don't really feel the need to talk much about facial hair. But yeah, so we're back in my house now, finally, after over a year of not being in the house. And they dropped off all of our stuff yesterday. And that has been a struggle. That is the nicest way I can put it. It has been a struggle. You know, now I'm like, I went from having like an open house with nothing in it to just boxes everywhere and stuff everywhere. And I did everything that I could the last 2 days. I am absolutely exhausted. I'm going to have to do more tomorrow. I have to put shelves up in my room so I can put my books. I have a ton of books. Just me personally, I have like boxes full of books. Some of my books actually did get ruined. They gave them back to me. There's like mold on the bottom of them. I'm just going to have to get rid of them. It's a shame, but it's got to be done. So what are you going to do, right? So get that all set. I have a dresser now. I have like a nightstand now. You know, I have my desk back. Oh, thank God I have my desk back. And you may notice I have my tripod. There's no way that this is going to shake or anything because I have my tripod. My camera is attached to my tripod the way it should be. I wish I had like a tripod that could track like over time so I could track the night sky and take nice, awesome pictures of the night. I actually found a letter that I wrote basically to myself when I was younger in order to try and help me deal with everything, because it seems like every time I ever make a decision on, you know, some sort of reaction to something, I seem to always be wrong. And at one point, somebody suggested that I write letters, and I was writing letters. And going through things that I've written reminds me that I used to be a really good writer, and I'm not anymore. I'm massively out of practice. I need to be better. But I look at the stuff that I used to write when I was a teenager, and up through most of my 20s, and you know, I need to get that back. I really do. I need to practice more. I need to write more. I need to finish writing my whole story of A to B with the weight loss, right? I mean, that's like a big deal. So I need to do that. And I need to look through my old writings and remind myself that I used to be able to do this stuff like it was nothing. I used to be really good at it. It's funny because this letter that I was writing, I was talking about how much I love nature. And I seem to have forgotten about that for a while. I mean, there was always, you know, I was always being, you know, thoughtful, but I really love just, you know, and it's really just the whole thing. It's not just nature. It's the mechanics of it. It's the, you know, the physics of it. It's everything. And it was kind of neat to look at that and remind myself about that. Of course, it's also kind of sad because it reminds me about how crappy things could be sometimes for me. And honestly, how crappy they still are sometimes for me. You know, anyone that knows me well knows I deal with a lot of shit. So, and sometimes I deal with it better than others. Most of the shit is not actually my internal shit. It's other people's shit that I have to deal with because it's like, you know, my family and stuff. I don't like the way my hair looks right now. But, you know, like, so I deal with it because they are my family, like it or not. There's nothing that in this world that's ever going to change it. So I do my best. And just sometimes I don't have as much patience as I should. And I let people get to me who are trying to get to me. And, you know, I just yell. And, you know, I thing is, I don't even say things that I don't mean. Like, the person that I'm talking about says things that they don't mean. I don't say things that I don't mean. I say things that I know I shouldn't say. Put it that way. Just because I just get so pissed off and so frustrated. It's a sibling thing. You know, that's that. And, you know, I do. I try and work on it. I try and be better at it. I try and stay more patient. But just some days it's just a giant pain in the ass, and who wants to deal with it, right? So yesterday was very stressful because it started off with an argument in the morning, then they delivered the stuff, then, you know, it was just, I was unpacking boxes until 11 o'clock at night. Woke up in the morning, kind of decompressed a little bit today, didn't get as much done. I just relaxed in the morning. I met my dad for lunch, because my dad, you know, he lives up in Massachusetts, but he works down in, like, the middle of my state, in the middle of Connecticut, and then it's not too far for him to come down for lunch. So he came down, we had lunch, BS'd for a little bit, relaxed, and then, you know, I had to go to the store, I had to get some stuff to put on shelves, I had to do bookshelves. I have to do, I had to get blinds to finish doing blinds throughout the house so that, you know, it's not, you know, people can't look in and you know, whatever. And then I did, I had to stop at, you know, Stop and Shop, which is a local supermarket, regional supermarket, Northeast. You actually see it on, like, Family Guy. If you ever watch Family Guy and they go to the supermarket, they go to Stop and Shop. Because the guy who does Family Guy, even though it takes place in Rhode Island, he's actually from Connecticut. But they're Stop and Shop in both states. The Stop and Shop, it's out of Massachusetts and whatever. So, got all that stuff. Got home, put up some blinds, put up a shelf. Dealt with some other stuff. Actually, my mom's bedroom set together because she's been sleeping on a cot. Like, I don't know why, but she has been. So she's had a mattress the whole time. She's never bothered to, you know, unwrap it and use it. So put her bed together for her. And then tomorrow, you know, it's just more of the same. More unpacking boxes and, you know, putting up shelves and stuff and doing that stuff. We're finally going to have countertops on September 15th. I get countertops. So that'll be fun. First thing I'm going to do as soon as I have countertops and some space to work is make some ketchup. I like to make my own stuff as much as I can. I really do. I think it's really important that we make as much as we can from, you know, as basic of products as we can make it. You know, like, if I need to make something that requires flour, I'm not going to grind my own flour. Although one time I would like to grow my own wheat and make my own flour just to say that I did it so I know how it's done, in case I ever needed to do it. But I don't see myself milling grains on a regular basis. I would like to be able to, you know, say that I did it. But I will. I'll buy, you know, as many of the constituents parts as I can and make things myself. I much prefer doing it that way than buying pre-made stuff. You get a lot more control over how things are put together. You get a lot more control as to what's in it. And that's a big thing. Nutrition is hugely important because forget about all the conveniences of the modern world. Forget about everything. Your house, your clothes, your cars, your job, whatever. Forget about all of that. Life comes down to these very basic things. You need food. You need water. Right? You need to be able to protect yourself from the elements. And you need to be healthy. Right? So, you don't need a job. You don't need, fancy clothes. You don't need a car. You don't need any of that stuff. Right? I could dig a hole. I could make a lean-to. I can live in a cave. Right? You don't need any of the stuff. I mean, in the true sense of the word need, right? Obviously, some people are like, well, I need these conveniences. They make life worth living for me. That's fine, right? Whatever. Whatever you're going to do, that's fine. But the things that you really need to live. So you need food. You need proper nutrition in order to stay healthy, in order to be well, in order to live a life. And we put so little importance on it, and we allow so many people to decide for us what's in our food, right? Because we just buy whatever we want to buy from whatever store we want to buy it from, and we don't even think about it. And, you know, not all chemicals are bad, right? Not everything that you don't understand in a food is out there to, you know, whatever conspiracy theory you want to subscribe to. Okay, most of it is innocuous and whatever. But we don't need as much salt as they put into things. In fact, over the years, the amount of salt and sugar has been ramped up in different products. Because as we get used to whatever amount there is, in order to get the same taste, it needs to go up. You know, just like any other chemical, your body gets accustomed to it. And you need to bring the level up. So, I tend to like things with less sugar in them anyway. I tend to like things that aren't as sweet, except for my desserts. I love sweet desserts. But even that, like, even like mixes and stuff like that, or whatever we're doing for dessert, I don't put in as much sugar as they say you should put in it. Okay? I actually cut back and I leave out sugar. And it tastes better to me. I like how that tastes better. So, you know, you leave it alone and do it that way. My phone is not plugged in, so my timer is going to sleep and I can't see it. But, so, you know, less sugar, less salt, less of everything, you know, because I don't need preservatives in, you know, whatever I'm making, because I'm going to make as much as I need for as long as it's going to last and then go from there, right? And it makes it much better. Everything tastes better that way. I promise you it tastes better. You feel better about it because you've done something, you've produced something yourself. That always gives you a good sense of accomplishment and makes you feel good about things. And, you know, you're doing something for yourself. You know, you're taking care of one of your basic needs. And I like ketchup, so I make ketchup. And the ketchup I use to make other things like barbecue sauce and salad dressings and stuff like that, right? So, you know, make one thing and then I can make more things out of it. I'm going to try my hand at making my own seitan. It's this wheat gluten meat substitute product. It's got like 15 grams of protein for every 100 calories. It's a complete protein. And so it's very good if you're not eating meat. As I am still not eating meat and doing very well with it. In fact, when my dad took me to a place that's basically known for its hot dogs. And I know that the hot dogs are very good, but I didn't have a hot dog. I had a grilled cheese sandwich. I had a grilled cheese sandwich and I had some French fries and some onion rings and it was tasty. And, you know, but that's where my dad wanted to eat. You know, I just go where my dad wants to eat because he's my dad and, you know, whatever. So we took care of that. So I want to make that. I still need countertops so I can try my hand at making my own energy gummies and other fun projects that I have on the way. And yeah, so it's getting there. I'm remembering to water my poor little lemon trees every day. They're doing well though. They're adjusting to their new environment. Actually, just had a little growth spurt with a couple of them, which is cool. I love seeing things grow. So only like 5 more years and I'll be making lemons and harvesting lemons. So, one of my friends actually at the New Haven Road Race, which I need to talk about because I did awesome. One of my friends at the New Haven Road Race was talking about how she loved my limoncello that I make and that I needed to make more. And I do, but right now I don't have countertops. So that is something else that I need to make soon. And that'll be cool. But obviously I'll have to buy lemons. I'm not going to wait 5 years. So on to the New Haven Road Race. Okay. It's the big race in New Haven, right? It's the national championship 20K, whatever. I don't know. I didn't even know that was a distance that people really raced at, but apparently they do and whatever. And there were some big name people that ran and ran really fast and everything, but I did something I was not expecting. I finished in 141, no, 141.19 or something like that. More than that, not only did I finish so quickly for me, I was like 8:15 minute per mile, or 8 minutes, 15 seconds per mile. And I was totally not expecting to do that. I felt really good. It was a really good day to run. It was very sunny, and that was the only drawback. It was sunny and hot, but it was dry. It was a very nice day to run, and I took advantage of it, and I totally kicked that course's ass for me. I was very happy with my performance, and hopefully I can carry that over into this weekend and next weekend when I run the Gulf Beach Half Marathon. So we're going to try. And it was a little bit of a different course this year. They changed up the ending. They used to have you go around this park and then back up and then down where I normally run every day to the finish line. And instead, when you got out to another park called Edgewood Park in New Haven, you went up and then down and around and back down Chapel Street, whereas they used to just have you go out, turn down one block, and then come back. So they added the distance on in there, which was actually a little hillier and a little more challenging. Not very hilly, but there was a little bit more of an incline than you get the other way, but it's not at the end of the race, right? And there was a lot of shade, so that was nice too. And, you know, I started out fast, but I started in back, so I'm like picking my way through people. And I had not done that, I probably could have done it in under 140. Because I'm picking through a lot of traffic, because it is a very big race. It's a very busy race. And I got through, met up with one of my friends from the running club, and ran with her for a little bit. And I thought that I would just stay with her the whole race. And the next thing you know, I was ahead of her. And I'm like, you know what? I feel bad, but I'm just going to keep. I feel bad when I'm running alongside someone and then I leave them behind because I want to talk to them or whatever. But, you know, if you're on a pace and you just stay at the pace and everyone understands it, but I still feel bad. So, and then I started passing people in my running club that I know are faster than me. And I was kind of really shocked at that. And then I ended up passing the one person in the club that is always faster than me, and he's a very fast runner. He's not the fastest runner in the club, but he is very fast. And he was not having a good race. I passed him, and I thought, oh, you know, in a couple miles he'll catch up to me. He'll catch up to me in the end because I'm going to slow down. I'll eventually slow down. But I kept my discipline. It's the first race through the entire race. I kept my pace. I kept my discipline. I did what I wanted to do at every turn, and there are only a couple miles where I look at my stats and say, ah, gee, you know, I could have done a little bit better here. But really, I stayed focused. I kept on pace and I did what I wanted to do and I was so happy with myself at the end of the race. I've never really done that before. I've always allowed myself to lapse. I've always allowed myself to walk, and I didn't even walk at water breaks. I was grabbing the water, and I was taking one water and I was dumping it on my head. And then I was taking, they had Generation U can, and I was taking that, and I was just taking little sips, and, you know, then I didn't waste anything, but, you know, I was taking little sips, and I didn't stop, I didn't walk, I just grabbed and I went. And I just kept moving. And it worked. It worked. I didn't lose focus. I kept going. I kept my legs moving, and even better, because they just sent the, you know, how they do the race photography, and I might actually have to spend $16 for a picture, because for the first time, there's a picture of me with both of my feet off the ground. Everybody else, you see, they see it, they have all these pictures all the time with both their feet off the ground, and they look amazing. And I was like, oh, I'll never see that, because every single picture I ever took is both of my feet, or one foot on the ground, or both of my feet on the ground. But finally, there's a picture with both my feet just barely off the ground. My back foot, like my toe, is just off the ground, and my front foot's just a little bit above. And it's very cool. So I might have to get that picture. I kind of hate the idea of spending $16 for a picture. I get it. I have photographer friends. That is their livelihood. They need to sell, you know, to make it. I just, you know, if I had people that came to races, they would sit there with a camera and take pictures of me for free, you know. And yes, I get it. The equipment's very expensive, and then you have to make a living on it on top of that. So I understand why it's that expensive. I just, $16 for a picture, right? So, you know, photographer friends, this is my challenge to you. Find a way to make race pictures cheaper. So it's very cool. So I think I have to get that. I have to do that. And we'll see what ends up happening there. And beyond that, you know, I'm just, you know, we're getting through. We're getting by. We're getting things done. It's an exciting time to be alive, right? I'm geared up for Suffolk County. It's my chosen September marathon. It's my last race at my particular age. I do not go up an age group this year. I don't go up an age group for a couple more years. But my birthday is then Monday, so happy birthday to me. And then my first race after that is going to be Gulf Beach half marathon. Gulf Beach Half Marathon last year, I was planning on being really fast because I had been really fast all year, and it's a very flat course, and I was going to do my best to do a half marathon in under 140, and then I got massively sick that week, and it was horrible. I had a horrible time. I think I finished in like 148 or 150 something. I don't know. I was struggling, right? So I was not nearly as fast as I wanted to be. It was very tough. I was congested. It was a horrible time running. And so, you know, I did what I could. I'm hoping this year I will be healthy. I will be well. And I'm hoping, depending on how things go this weekend with Suffolk County, that I will be healthy and well enough to do Gulf Beach the way I wanted to do it last year. I was not originally planning on doing that. But after how, and of course weather conditions have to be right as well, but after how well I did in New Haven, I know that I can carry that speed through, 13 miles. I did it for 12 and a half. I can do it for 13.1, right? I mean, you know, it's 1 kilometer longer than the race I just ran. So, you know, and at the pace I was going, I would have finished a half in 146. So I need to take 6 minutes off. So about a half a minute per, so 7:45s. And I think I can do that. I honestly think I can do 745s. And so I'm going to try. I'm going to try and do it. And we'll see what happens. Because I was doing 8:15 even for New Haven. So if I'm doing 7:45, that's half a minute per mile. Over the course of 13 miles is 6.5 minutes. And that should get me in at right around 140. So I should probably shoot for a little below 7:45. And that's actually how I get through a race. I'm sitting there in my head and I'm calculating out all this stuff. And I just, you know, like I don't prepare anything for this. I just keep talking and whatever comes to my mind comes to my mind. And so I just calculated all that in my head for you, right? So, you know, it's just one of those weird things that I do. And I do it while I'm running too. And I'll sit there and I'll say, well, at this pace, I'll finish at this time and this, that, the other thing. But I have to keep focused. And I have to say, okay, I'm going to do like 740s or 735, 740s and just go and do them and not calculate. Because when I start calculating, I get in my head and that's when I start having lapses. It was very difficult. Another thing that I needed to stay focused in New Haven was I had to try and block out. At first, I was doing my regular thing, right? And I was having a good time and doing all that stuff. But then I realized how fast I was going. And I'm like, okay, if I buckle down, I can really do something here, right? I can really push myself really hard for a race. And not just over a distance, but I can actually go for a time and push for it. And so what I did was I started blocking out the spectators and doing all that stuff, you know, and not trying to interact so much. And that helped me keep focus. You know, I'm going to try and do that again in Suffolk County and try and stay focused. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it for the entire course of 26.2 miles. That's going to be a lot to ask of me to stay focused for that long. It's very difficult for me to stay focused for that long. I have attention span issues. I have problems staying focused for an exceptional amount of time. If I were younger, I probably would have been diagnosed with ADHD. I was not, because I'm not younger. Although people were getting diagnosed when I was that age, it was very, very rare. So here we are, and I'm doing the best that I can with what I got. So, you know, I'm going to try and stay focused and see how that works and see how everything goes. Of course, a lot will depend, once again, weather conditions are important. Things like that. If the weather's no good, if I'm having a miserable time, then I'm going to do whatever I can to have a good time. You got to have a good time every race. You got to enjoy what you're doing. And if you're not enjoying what you're doing, don't do it. Right? So that's what I need to work on. Staying focused and enjoying. It's not as easy as it sounds now, is it? But we're, you know, I'm getting there. I was very proud of what I did in, you know, on Monday. It was amazing. I was shocked. And it was cool to be able to share it with, because, like, my club, it's a big race for my club. So there were a lot of people there, and it was cool to share that with everybody, and they were very happy for me. It was so much fun to do that. So I want to do it again, because it was a lot. I mean, I've run fast before, you know, fast for me, fast for some, you know, a lot of people. I've come in second in my age group in 5Ks. My fastest 5K time is a 22:47, which isn't anything to sneeze at. It's not, you know, I'm not going to break a world record. I'm not going to win, you know, some big event somewhere, but, you know, I'm not going to make an Olympic team doing that. But it's pretty fast for a recreational, you know, amateur runner. I'm not a professional. I don't get paid for doing any of this stuff. I just go out and do it because I enjoy it. I spend a lot of money doing it, honestly, between shoes and everything else. Speaking of which, it's almost time for a new pair for me. So, you know, got to figure that out. But, you know, I'm sitting there and you know, it was a big deal. It really was. And so it was very exciting. So, you know, if you're having trouble staying focused, you know, try in a shorter race just to, you know, keep on it and keep going and not get distracted. Don't let... There was actually one point I was coming under a bridge in Worcester Square. I was actually going under the highway in Worcester Square. And there was a volunteer, and she was cheering so loud, and she was so excited, and it was great. And I had to hold back, because if I started interacting with her, I would have broken my focus. And the thought actually went in my head, if you say something, you're going to lose your focus. Don't do it. And I just charged on ahead, but it was very cool. So, you know, it was a challenge. It really was a challenge. It was very tough, but it was very rewarding in the end. So that happened, and it was cool. And so and now I need to also take that focus and bring it to getting all these boxes up in my room. I was surprised with some of the stuff that actually came back. I got my baseball cards actually came back, and my decibel meter came back, which I was able to use against my air conditioning system that's putting out 80 decibels at the return, which is the sound of your average home garbage disposal running. Only this is running at, you know, an hour or two at a time, and so it's very irritating. So, but I actually figured out how to fix all that. I actually wrote about that the other day, about how that needs to get fixed, and hopefully it'll be fixed in the coming week or two. So that'll be that. And, you know, there's other stuff that's come back that I've missed, and I'm glad is back, and I'm glad is, you know, well. And actually, I ended up using my random orbit sander today, putting up a shelf, because who wants to sand by hand, right? So it's cool to get, like, a lot of stuff back and see that stuff was working. My vacuum cleaner's working. How cool is that? Vacuum cleaner. I don't have to go buy one. So that'll be fun. And, like, my shot glasses came back. I don't write shot glasses, but I've actually... It's a very modest collection of shot glasses, but they all have an important story. Some other glasses, stuff like that. Just, you know, you collect over the years, memorabilia. I have a mug, a beer mug that was given to me as part of a gift for being in a wedding party that was very important to me. My friend Ox, who does the Oxen Trot blog, although I think he's changed the name of it to something else because he's not really doing running anymore. He's just doing nerdy stuff, which is cool. So you should check him out. Oxen Tails, that's what he calls it. Aha! See, I couldn't think for a second, but, you know, I remembered. Oxen Tails, I would say definitely check it out. He does, like, a lot of nerdy stuff. He does a little write-up every day. He has, you know, like, a theme he goes with. Unlike me, where I'm just randomly spitting stuff out as it comes to mind, usually while I'm running. Although I haven't been running this week. And honestly, it's a lot harder for me to think when I'm not running, believe it or not. For some reason, my brain works better when I'm running. I don't know. When I'm not running, I feel very meh. So, but I'm not running this week. I wanted to run last night. I wanted to try and actually make a club run. I've never been to one of my club runs. I'm in a running club. I have never actually run with them except for in races. So I wanted to make it to a club run. Wasn't going to happen. But I sat there I wanted to run last night. I wanted to run, but I couldn't. It just, there was too much stuff to take out of boxes, too much to do. So that's what we did. And, you know, what are you going to do about it, right? I can't cry over it. I'll try another week. I'm not going to do next week because part of the reason I wanted to go is after the New Haven Road Race, I'm talking to one of my friends in the club and she's not going to be there because she has to be in Philadelphia for her child's wedding. She's older, so she has to be there for the wedding, and you know, so she's not going to be there. And if I'm going to be at my first club run, I have to make sure that Mary's there. So, just because it's too funny. And, you know, we love BSing after races. So I'm sure after a club run, it'll be fun. And because, you know, she's kind of a big geek like me. Although she's much smaller than me. But, but she's an engineer, software engineer, in fact. She's a big Star Trek fan. So it's very cool talking to her. We have a lot of fun. Me and my buddy Al, who got me into the club and got me into running long distances and everything like that. We have tons of stuff to talk about all the time because we're all nerds. So it's fun, right? I think running may attract nerds. I seem to know a lot of very nerdy people from running. It's just the way that it is. So, also, you may notice I said that I shaved and there's 5 o'clock shadow. I'm not letting it grow back. I just haven't had time to shave in a couple days. And I don't need to shave right now because I'm not working. I'm just clearing out my house and getting everything cleaned up and set up and livable. So, you know, there's that. Yeah, so that's where I'm at with everything. That's what I'm looking to do. Other than that, there's been a story in the news that's been bugging me. And it's that person down in Kentucky who doesn't want to do their job. They're a county clerk, and they don't want to give out marriage licenses to same-sex couples because they say they're, you know, they're a Christian, and they can't, you know, do that because they don't believe that that's, you know, biblically correct, that that's Christian to you know, have two men or two women marry each other, whatever. So here's the problem with that. First off, let's forget about the fact that she's been married 4 times, twice to one person. She was pregnant with somebody else's kids while she was married to somebody else and all that stuff. And all that giant hypocritical nonsense of saying, well, in the Bible it says that two men can't marry each other. Well, it also says that you can't commit adultery, which you did. In fact, that made the top 10 list. You know, and everything else. Adultery, divorce, all that stuff, it's in the Bible. You're not supposed to do it. She's done it. But now she's claiming she's such a big Christian, she can't possibly hand out a legal document sanctioned by her state and the United States government to these people because she disapproves of their lifestyle because it says so in this book that she's already in violation of. Seriously, that's what's happening. More than that, and this is very important, more than that, forget all that stuff. Here's the deal. You have a legal contract that's given out by the government, okay? Nobody's, you know, well, there are churches that will do, you know, a same-sex marriage. And that's their business, and that's what they want to do, and that's cool, right? That's their thing, whatever. I'm not here to judge any of that, okay? But there's a difference between a spiritual union happening in a church or wherever folks want to have it happen, you know, at the beach, whatever. I don't care. There's a difference between that and a legal contract, okay? What we're concerned with here, what the government is concerned with, is the legal contract, okay? Now, if you're going to have a legal contract between two consenting people, you can't discriminate that legal contract based on anything. If they're consenting adult people, all right, in the eyes of the law, not the Lord, the law, okay, and they want to do something, you have to let them do it. Okay? Because if you're letting group A do it, but you're not letting group B do it, that's wrong. And that's what's happening here. They're letting group A do it, they're not letting group B do it. Wrong. You have to have everyone allowed to do the same things. So if you're going to hand out these legal contracts called marriages, has to be all consenting adults, are allowed to do it. Okay? And people say, well, what about this and what about that? Consenting adults. End of. Okay? They consented to it. That's cool. That's what they want to do. That's how they want to live. That's fine. That is a legal contract, and you have to give equal rights to everybody, regardless of what you think is right. And if you're not going to do it, then you shouldn't be a county clerk. You should go find a new job. And we should say, we will gladly pay you your unemployment for as long as it takes for you to find a job within reason. A year, 2 years, whatever. Right? I think that's the way to handle it. Say, here you go. Because clearly she doesn't want to do her job anyway. So, you know, give her unemployment, let her find a new job, get somebody in there that's just going to do the job. And that's the difference. They need to do the job. And people are likening her to certain civil rights figures like Rosa Parks and people like that. And that is so ridiculously wrong. And let me tell you why that's wrong. Okay. She's like George Wallace. Okay. Governor George Wallace. He was governor in, I want to say, Arkansas or Alabama. I can't remember right now off the top of my head. It was Alabama. And he's down there. And the Supreme Court ruled that they couldn't segregate schools. Right. So these African-American students come to the first day of school, and they're walking up the stairs, and there's Governor George Wallace with the state police behind him saying, no way in hell are you getting into this school. And he was the guy who said, you know, segregation now, segregation forever, blah, blah, blah. Right? Total douchebag. It's the same thing. I know, people are like, well, totally different. No. Being born African-American, not a choice. Being gay, not a choice. Same thing. When did I decide to be straight? Never. It was never a decision that I made, right? I didn't one day, you know, I wasn't sitting there, well, maybe I like that guy over there. No, you know what? No, girls. No, I never made that choice. I always liked girls. Even when I was like a little kid, when little kids aren't supposed to like girls, I was like really into girls. Crazy, right? That's just the way I've always been. I don't get it. That's just the way I've always been. It's my natural state. That's fine. Other people have a different natural state. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It is what it is. They are who they are. I'm not there to pass judgment. That's not my job. That's not anyone's job. But we have a whole bunch of people who think that it is their job. But the best part about it is, so she goes to jail, right? Because she's in contempt of court. And they finally are like, okay, we're just going to let her out. So they do this big media event. Her and all her ridiculous supporters like Mike Huckabee, former governor Mike Huckabee. I have to give credit where credit is due. He was elected by the people of Arkansas to be governor. And so they set up this big event and have her come out to Eye of the Tiger by Survivor. Survivor did not like that. Survivor is suing her and Mike Huckabee for $1.2 million. Good job, champ. So there is that. And of course, in other news of musical artists, as my time is running short, of musical artists telling people where they can stick it. Look up REM and what they have done with Donald Trump using their music, End of the World as We Know It, at an event. They are pissed, and it is hilarious. It's very good. It's right up there with when last presidential election cycle, after being named vice presidential candidate, Paul Ryan, I have to stop and think because Rand Paul, Paul Ryan, you know, all these people, they like all have the same name. What the hell?